Good morning, New Life family. Good to have you back with us again this morning. We want to share a message, really, that I shared last year, late in the year. If you remember, we went through a series on prophecy called Daniel's Diary from like late September to late in November. And then we followed that up with three words that I felt like the Lord had given me earlier in the year last year. And the first one was faith, not fear, and then peace, not worry, and then trust, not the what-ifs of our imaginations. And so this morning, I want us to reflect back on those messages. We're going to begin with the message, faith, not fear, today. But I want us to reflect back and not only remember what the Lord spoke to us then about how we're supposed to live in the last days, but also, I think in the environment that we're in right now, how do we live in faith, not fear, facing what we're facing now in our world all around us? So let's talk about that this morning. Faith, not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 tells us this: God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sometimes in these troublous times, our minds are troubled as well. And God doesn't want us to have that. He said, I've not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you power, I've given you love, and I've given you a sound mind. And we always know, first and foremost, that fear is not from God. Fear is never from God. Fear is actually a tool of the devil. Fear, we know the word tells us, has torment. And so let's look at that. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 tells us that very plainly. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. God doesn't want your mind tormented with that spirit of fear. David also tells us in Psalm 34, verse 4, that the Lord, he said, has delivered me from all my fears. You know, you're like a lot of folks maybe this morning where your mind has been troubled and your heart has been maybe full of fear. And David said that the Lord has delivered me from all my fear. And folks, God can do the same thing for you. God knows right where you are. He knows what's troubling your mind. He knows what your particular situation is in life right now because of the coronavirus pandemic that we're all going through right now. And so I want this message today to be a word of encouragement to calm your fears and to relax not only your minds, but to relax your body as well. In Psalm 23:4, David says this, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And you know, no matter what may be going on around us or even in us, it's so great to know that the Lord is with us and His Holy Spirit lives within us. And so we don't have to be afraid. I want to go to another psalm right now, if you'll turn with me, Psalm chapter 112, and we're going to pick up at verse number 5. Psalm 112, verse 5 says this, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. If you do those things, you'll never be shaken. A righteous man, a righteous woman will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. Man, that's a great word for us today because every time you turn that TV on, it's all about bad news, right? Well, God says that we'll have no fear of bad news if we're living the way God wants us to live. He says our heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Our heart, our mind is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Our heart is secure. We will have no fear, and in the end, we will look in triumph on our foes. God wants to give us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, he said, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And so we thank God that he can drive out any and every fear in our lives. And then we've asked you to try to, on a daily basis, go through Psalm 91. Well, I want to look at just a few verses there this morning. Let's do that together. Psalm 91, and let's begin at verse number 1. A very familiar psalm, a very familiar chapter, and it's one that brings us, I think, a lot of peace and encouragement. And he says this, He who dwells or lives in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. If we're dwelling with God, we're going to find rest, not only rest for our minds, but rest for our bodies, and even rest for our very souls. My soul finds rest in God alone. And then he says in verse 2, I will say of the Lord, He, God, is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the snare, from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. You know, what our world is going through right now is some type of pestilence or some type of plague. We, in our study last year of the end times, as we mentioned in Daniel's diary, we know that these types of things are going to come on the earth. Jesus prophesied it as well in the Gospels about the signs of the end times. And I believe that this is certainly a precursor for sure of end time events. A pestilence, a plague. He says, you won't have to fear the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Next month, probably the Sunday after Mother's Day, we're going to be talking about that, where we're living right now, and what does that mean for us for today. Then verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Folks, let's not be afraid. Let's not be walking around in fear, worrying, am I going to catch this? Am I going to catch that? The word says that God will be with us. He says it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent or where you live, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord encamps around about those of us that fear him, and that angel will deliver us. He will keep us from harm and protect us from danger. So therefore, we don't have to fear. And then again in the Psalms, chapter 46, verses 1 and 2, encourages us with this. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. So because God is with us and God is in us through the person of the Holy Spirit, He is an ever-present help in our time of trouble. So we don't have to fear. And then I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. And God tells us this, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Guys, God is with us today. Again, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your circumstances might be personally to you right now, God is with you, God is for you, God is in you, and He will never leave you, He'll never forsake you. Isaiah chapter 43, let's turn there together. Isaiah chapter number 43, and we're going to pick up just the first three verses of that great chapter, and it is a great chapter. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3, and he writes, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I have redeemed you, I have summoned you by name, you are mine." I want to stop there for just a moment because I love what he's telling us here. He says, "Fear not, because I have redeemed you." How could God redeem us? How did God redeem us? Well, he did it with what we just celebrated last week, the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We were redeemed, bought back to God through the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He says, "So I've redeemed you. I have summoned you by name." Man, I love that. God knows your name. God knows my name. And then he goes further and says, you are mine. You and I belong to God. Why? Because he bought and paid for us with the precious life and the precious blood of his one and only Son, Jesus. And then he says in verse 2, whenever you pass through the waters, in other words, tough times, he says, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers that may be over our heads, we're overwhelmed by the circumstances, he says, they will not sweep over you. And then I love this. When you walk through the fire, man, when you feel like you're being burned to crisp or to toast, he says, you're not going to be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Praise God. We have these great and precious promises that God has given to us. Let's go a little further in the Old Testament to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, just a couple of verses there. And it says this, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. So my question to you this morning is, who are you trusting in your circumstances? Where are you placing your confidence, your faith? We're going to talk about faith in just a moment. And so where's your confidence? Where's your trust? He says, blessed is the person whose trust is in the Lord and who is confident in what the Lord can do in your life. Verse 8 says, he will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, and its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought. Next week, we're going to be talking about peace, not worry. Because in this time, in what we're going through, there's all kinds of worries that may roll through your mind. But God says, if we're a person that trusts God and our confidence is in him, then we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry even in a time of drought. And we never fail to bear fruit. God wants us as believers to bear fruit even in tough times. You know, tough times never last, but tough people do. Amen? And so we want to be tough. We want to hang in there. He said, never quit, never stop, don't give up. And so let's be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not our own strength. I love this also in Luke chapter 1, verse 74. We're told this, Jesus has come to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. This is such good scripture that we're going through this morning on fear and how we can overcome it even in the midst of what we're going through. And how do we do that? Well, again, we've talked a lot about fear so far. Let's kind of switch gears and let's start talking about the faith that we can have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do it by faith. That's how we walk by faith. And so let's go to the book of Romans in the New Testament. Turn with me there. And we're going to go to Romans chapter number 4, and we're going to pick up at verse number 13. And we pick up in regards to our faith with a man named Abraham. Let's look at this. Romans 4, verse 13. It was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. That's how we are made righteous, is by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, for if those who live by law are heirs, then faith has no value and the promise is worthless, because law brings wrath. Law brought the wrath of God. And where there is no law, there's no transgression. Verse 16, therefore the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. And that it may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. This God in whom Abraham believed. The God who gives life to the dead. We just celebrated that last week on Easter Sunday. But also, he's the God who calls things that are not as though they were. So that no matter what your circumstances might be, God can turn those things around for good. And what is not right now, presently in your life, good, God can take the bad that is there and turn it around for good, your good and my good, and ultimately for his glory, that the name of Jesus would be exalted. Praise God. And then verse 18, I love this. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son, but they had been waiting for 25 years for that son to come. And so he was holding on in faith. Look at this next verse, verse 20. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, the promise of that son, but was strengthened in his faith, and he gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Guys, what has God promised you in your life? What are some things that maybe you're praying about? Maybe some scriptures, some promises that you're holding on to right now that God has given you from his word. What are you holding on to? What are those promises? Well, Abraham was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. That comes by faith. We have to, by faith, hang on until the answer to those promises come. Amen? Let's do that together. Let's do that together. And then let's go a little bit further to the book of Galatians. And again, just a really great portion of scripture here in Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to pick up at verse number 6. Galatians 3, verse 6. And it says this, consider Abraham, the gentleman we were just reading about in Romans. He believed God, and because of that, it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, and he announced the gospel in advance to Abraham, saying, all nations are going to be blessed through you. And then he says in verse 9, so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Man, I love that. I love that. Now let's go even further into the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews. I believe that this is really my favorite book in all of Scripture, is the book of Hebrews. Let's go to chapter 6, and we're going to begin at verse number 10. Hang with me here this morning. Verse 10 says this, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people. Man, that's so cool. And as you continue to help them, the verse says. Verse 11, we want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We don't want you to become lazy, but rather to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So you see, it's not just faith, but you have to be patient enough to wait for God's answer. Let's look at verse 13. And he says this, when God made his promise to Abraham, the promise of that son, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, God swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you not just one descendant, but many descendants. Praise God. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Guys, I want you to be patient with the Lord. His timing may not be mine or yours. We may have to wait, But God wants us to wait patiently. He wants us to wait expectantly. And He wants us to wait in faith, knowing that He will surely come to our aid, come to our defense, and get us out of the dilemma that we find ourselves in today. That's the God that we serve. Hebrews 4:14 encourages us to do this. Hold firmly to the faith that we profess. That's what God wants us to do in these days in which we live, is take all those promises that we're holding on to, and by faith, let's hold firmly to that faith that we profess. And so as we do that, we'll be a light to the world around us that it maybe has no light of this gospel of Jesus Christ. For those of us that know the Lord, we can hold firmly to that faith. For those that don't know the Lord yet, they need to come into this experience, this relationship with Jesus, so that they'll have a faith to hold on to. We'll talk about that in just a moment. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says this, "We live by faith, not by sight." Guys, don't go right now by what you see, by what your circumstances look like, but rather let's walk by faith, not by what we see. Let's don't go with our natural eyes, but let's go with our spiritual eyes. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to show us in spiritual realms what God is about to do for us and for our country and for this planet. We live by faith, not by sight. Now let's go backwards a little bit in the New Testament to the book of 2 Timothy. This is a letter that Paul writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, a young man that Paul has mentored for a number of years. And this is the last letter that Paul is ever going to write. So these are some of his last words before his martyrdom. And so we find it in 2 Timothy. We're going to go to chapter 4, and we're going to begin with verse number 6. And here is some of Paul's last words. He says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure." The Holy Spirit has impressed upon him that he's about to die. And so he says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." Guys, what a great, great testimony. I would love for those words to be able to be penned over my life as my end approaches. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. What a great testimony of Paul. And then he says in verse 8, "Now, because of all of that, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Guys, are you longing for the second coming of Christ? Are you longing for the soon return of Jesus? Oh, man, if you are, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for you, along with the one that Paul received as well. You see, God is no respecter of persons, but whoever comes to him in faith, whoever confesses their sins and trusts Christ to be their Savior, we can receive and will receive this crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give to us all. Praise God. And then in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, John tells us this, "This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith." Thank God for the victory that overcomes the world. And what is that victory? It's our faith. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God that's found only in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then 1 Peter 1:9 says this, "The goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls." That's the end game. It's the salvation of our souls. And then I want to close with this morning from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's go there. Very familiar portion of Scripture to most of us. And it's just two verses there, verses 8 and 9. And again, Paul is writing and he says this, "For it is by grace..." Earlier in the message, we talked about grace, and now we come back to it. "For it is by grace that you have been saved." How? "Through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You see, folks, this salvation is for whosoever will, let him come. Whoever desires to be saved, whoever desires to have their sins forgiven and to be made ready for heaven, he says, this is a work of grace. It's not anything that you can do. It's not from you or me. It's a gift from God. Salvation is a gift. And he says, it's not by works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy and his grace that we are saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, in Jesus, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Guys, God wants us to experience that everlasting life. Many of you have done that already by receiving Christ as your Savior, asking him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your life. And there are those of you watching this morning that you want to do that right now. And so I'm just going to believe God with you that as you just simply ask him by faith, to come into your heart and into your life and to forgive you of sin. He says, if we confess our sin, he said, I'll be faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Would you like to do that with me this morning? Let's pray. Father, today, I just ask you to, right now, as we pray this prayer in faith, Father, I ask you to come into every heart and into every life. Father, we humbly ask for forgiveness for anything in our lives that would be displeasing to you. Father, cleanse us from sins of commission and even sins of omission, things that we've omitted from our life that we should be doing and maybe we're not. Lord, come into each heart and life. Wash us, cleanse us, help us to be made ready for heaven through the blood, the precious blood of Christ. Lord, wash us and move upon us this morning. Touch every man, every lady, every young person, every boy and girl that is responding to this right now. Touch them by your mighty power. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for the salvation, this free gift of God that is for whosoever will, if we'll only believe. And so, Father, we believe that Jesus is your Son. We believe that he died, was buried, and that he was resurrected. And we believe that he is the Savior of all of our souls. And so, Lord, we trust you. We believe you. We take you at your word. And by faith, we receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, we love you so much. We miss you. We miss being with you, but we're looking forward to the time that we can gather together here again. I'm speaking, obviously, to an empty sanctuary, and so we just ask for your continued prayers for our nation, for one another. If there's anything we can do to help in any way, please contact us. NewLifeWorshipCenter.org is our website, and you can go there at any time. Other messages are there for you to view as well, previous messages. But guys, most important, take care, be safe. We love you, we're praying for you, and we can't wait to get back with you. God bless you.